This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode of Witching Hour is brought to you by the Ready or Not Go-To Guides. So often in motherhood, we think about the birth, but not much that follows it. And I am here to tell you, from interviewing nearly 100 working mums, that how you prepare for your postpartum is just as important as how you prepare for birth. You can shop our postpartum and return to work planning, breastfeeding and returning to work, and childcare 101 go-to guides now. They're $29 individually and $69 as a trio. Thoughtfully designed, filled with expert advice, these are the guides to help mums make work work. You can shop them now at readyornot.au. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work as mums. I'm Lou.
I'm Loz, kicking things off with a couple of good news stories today. Number one, and I know you posted this on Ready or Not Instagram stories, but it's so bloody good. Like I've never seen, is it called an obituary? Is that the right word?
Obituary.
When someone passes? Obituary.
With an O.
What's an arbitrary? Maybe I'm thinking arbitrary, like.
That's arbitrary, what you're thinking.
Arbitrary, that's it. So there was a death notice for wild and wayward mother goes around the world. This is what her death notice was in the paper. And firstly, I can't believe people still put things in the paper. Who's reading this?
No. Put it on Instagram, doll.
Yeah, put it on the grid. Chuck it on the grid. See your mum.
Yeah. Posey and Ray, if you're listening, chuck me on the grid.
So, Kelly Jennifer Ann. Farewell, Jenny Kelly, born 15th of May 1936. Our wild and wayward mother died on 28th of October 2024. She refused to say passed. We spent most of our lives compensating for our upbringing, said Jenny. She believed that exposing youth to religion was a form of child abuse.
That bit was, the impossible only really to watch. Rogue bit. I was like, Jenny, relax, Darcy. Wow.
It was impossible to watch the news in her presence due to her vocal outrage at the way the country was run. She held John Howard in particular contempt.
I'm with her there.
Mum grew great dope. What a legend. Never wanted to leave party and gave up on champagne or gin frequently, but never simultaneously. Her rare attempts at responsible parenting or grandparenting were always touching. She said Sean was a much better driver than Chris. News on what's to follow next. Bring a shovel. What? Like, if that's that doesn't brilliant. Just give you a lot, like make you light up from reading that. I don't know what we're like. Sometimes I think, I mean, obviously death is very sad, but death is, to me, a celebration of life. Like, yeah. I don't want, when the time comes for me, I don't want like, I mean, I definitely want people like having a bit of a cry and being like, oh, farewell, Loz. But I also want to be like,
fuck.
Like, I want a party. Gone. Like,
yes.
I want people to be like, she was rogue and like, we loved her for that. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
I might start growing weed just so my kids can say that about me.
Oh, God. The smell of it actually makes my stomach churn.
Like, I cannot. I've never smoked a joint in my life. I cannot inhale the smoke. Have you ever been stoked?
Yeah, I'm not.
You can admit.
Yes, I actually have. When I went to Amsterdam like years ago and I was so excited because it was like the first time I'd ever smoked weed and I was like so excited. And they're like, oh, you know, we'll give you the beginner's one. I'm like, no, like I'm above that.
I'll be straight fine. To the intermediate.
Anyway, straight to the top. Anyway, I actually couldn't even inhale it because it smelled so bad. So instead, I ended up getting space cake. And the guy said to me, only take half and then wait a couple of hours.
Oh, you're Drew Barrymore on Never Been Kissed.
Anyway, I don't know what happened next, but I ended up at the Heineken Museum in this like lounge chair for ages, like watching this beer video. And then on the way home, I felt like I was like bouncing off the earth, like I was moonwalking home. It was the weirdest thing.
Fun. Hades and I had.
That was as close as I got.
We got hash cookies or something when we were in Amsterdam. And we just sat there in the park, in Vondel Park or whatever it's called. And I just don't think they ever worked. And I feel really ripped off. Really ripped off.
So yeah, you were ripped off. I mean, I can't say that my experience was that good. I haven't done it again, but just the smell, it's not for me.
Yeah, I'm not a stoner.
No. Dove, another good news story, which our lovely volunteer, Nicole, we never mention enough, actually. So shout out to her.
Nicole's the best. Love you so much, Nicole.
She's great.
She just helped me on that home postpartum series, and she's the best. Smartest person ever. She's the best.
She's very smart and very driven and just very available, which is also excellent. So she sent through this little snippet in our WhatsApp group, and it said, Dove has launched a menopause awareness campaign as part of its long-standing mission to champion women's self-esteem in collaboration with Forward and Mindshare for Dove Deodorants. Entrepreneur and influencer Pip Edwards, who I personally love, joins as the face of the campaign, lending her voice and sharing her personal experience having gone through perimenopause at just 39 years old, which actually isn't that young. They're saying it happens 10 years before your period stops. With the goal of raising awareness and advocating for workplace change, the campaign launched a dedicated microsite, dove.com/menopause, housing educational resources for individuals and businesses alike to encourage women to bring their full selves to work. Good on Dove. They have done some ripper campaigns, and this just goes to show when you have a large organization that cares about women and that cares about things that impact women, and not all of their products are specific to women. I must say, like, my husband loves the Dove, what's it called, cleansing bar, the old school soap. Like, we're big purchases for him. Yeah.
Okay. I think Dove, if you want to come on board, make a real impact. We will promote you. How good.
So those are my good news stories.
I'm becoming very aware of the topic of perimenopause because I feel like going through motherhood made me realize how much these things unlock for you and all of a sudden become everything to you. So perimenopause is going to be that next thing for us where all of a sudden it's everything we consume, it's everything we talk about, it characterizes our whole lives. So I'm so grateful that people are doing the good work of actually talking about it the way our generation are starting to talk about motherhood more openly. So that is brilliant news. I'm so still in holiday mode. So my segment sort of sucks today. And the poll, it was lazy. It was lazy to say the least. So what are we talking about today, Lozzie? Five ways workplaces are failing new mothers and how we can flip the narrative. And then, as I mentioned, I'm still in holiday mode. So I'm going to talk to you very quickly about my holiday. I'm going to ask you for all of your traveling with kids tips because you're an expert. And then we'll go to the poll, which is on that very topic. It's a lazy one. It's a short one. The holiday mode is activated now until January. I've been seeing some great memes about don't email me trying to get work out of me before January. Holiday mode is on. Take it away, my friend.
Five ways workplaces are failing new mothers and how we can flip the narrative. We spoke about this a couple of weeks back with that whole report, The Motherhood, I think it was called, or The Mother Loads, that was released around the advertising industry, which applies to so many industries, about how mums are feeling really burnt out. It's a topic that comes up again and again and again. And what I think is interesting is when you said just then, I'm turning off my emails like it's the end of the year, I'm actually finding the opposite, like the polar opposite is happening. So for me personally, work-wise, is busier than it's ever been all year.
Oh, totally. It always is because everyone's like, fuck, it's nearly the desperate end of the year. Like, we've got work that we need to get done. Christmas is like, what, 6 weeks away?
Yes. Yes. Oh, and I want to get festive, but I can't because the actual workload is enormous. And I will talk about this in another episode, but it's not just the actual workload of your workplace. It's all the other things that are starting to come into play around Christmas. And don't get me wrong, I'm a very jolly person. I love Santa.
You are so jolly.
I love Christmas. Like, I live for it.
I think I'm starting to love it. Are you happy to hear that?
Love it.
I think I am.
Yes, I love it.
Now that Ray's getting older, I think I'm starting to love Christmas.
Everyone's just happier. Like, you can sense joy. And it's like such a nice time of year. But there's just so much that goes into it. You know, seeing family traditions, buying things, creating experiences for others, shopping. I could go on and I will in another episode that people forget. Anyway, back to the original topic. This article was a great read for the following reasons. Number one, it had so many stats, which I just froth on, which I'm going to talk about in a minute.
Stats.
Love it. Number two, they were all really relatable. And I think it's a great topic to talk about when everyone is actually saying, oh, it's, you know, workplace saying, oh, you know, wind down towards the end of the year. And the exact reverse is happening.
Yeah.
So more than half of the mothers who returned to work after a baby from this report say they weren't satisfied with the support they got when they went back, according to new research from the Female Lead and Peanut published today. More than a third, so 35% of mothers in the UK and the US, who have gone back to work in the last 5 years feel that their work setup is unsustainable. And of those, a staggering 47% plan to leave their jobs in the next year as a result of feeling completely unsupported. This is the biggest kicker for me, and I know I've harped on about it before. I think there has been some great change in workplaces, both large and small and medium, in terms of having parental leave, so being paid, obviously, to spend time with your child and birth your child and have time being a mum or a dad or a partner or whatever that may be. But I do think a lot of companies market that as like their key selling point when in fact it's such a short period of time. Like, don't get me wrong, 14 weeks, 6 months, like how great to have that as paid time. But the reality is for most, if not all Australian women, they will be returning to the workforce in some form of capacity, whether it's like 1 day, 2 days, part-time, full-time, whatever it looks like. And if it is difficult to have that pathway to return to work or feel supported in that, you're going to leave. Like, it doesn't matter that you got 6 months of paid parental leave.
Yeah.
You've got the rest of your life working. And if it's not
the rest of your life is way longer. And as the kids get older, like, there's more logistics. Like, that mat leave period can be quite beautiful if you're just at home with a cute little baby for 6 months. But the rest of it is quite challenging.
Yes. So I feel like the narrative actually needs to be focused more on towards what workplaces are doing to support the transition back to work as opposed to how much they're paying for paid parental leave.
Do you know what? I'm going to draw a parallel here that might be a bit confusing, but I think you'll agree with me. When I was creating this home postpartum series, one of the DMs that came through that I wanted to include in a concept, but it was sort of opening another can of worms and I couldn't sort of add to the script, so I didn't. But one person said to me that I don't know why we treat second-time mums as though they have it all sorted and they have it all figured out.
Yes.
My experience has been much harder this time around, for example. And I liken it to the mum that returned to work a year ago. Like, just because she's been back at work for a year doesn't mean that it's magically easy all of a sudden. Like, we think about how nerve-wracking and hard it is to cross that threshold of like having a little baby to then getting back into work. But that mum continues to need support. She doesn't just need like a package of like, welcome back to work. We're going to slowly stagger your hours. We're going to slowly increase your hours at a rate that is good for you. It's like, it's still tricky that year on. We need support throughout all phases of the return to work journey.
Yeah, I agree with that. So off the back of this report, flexibility around unexpected childcare responsibilities, which as we both know, come up all the time, came out as a top wish, closely followed by the offer of flexible hours. As the third top benefit requested by more than half of the respondents was simply wanting to be asked what they needed. A fifth of returning mothers thought encouraging men to take more parental leave is the best action employees could take to help mothers at work long term. And the biggest satisfaction gaps were found for, number one, flexible hours. So 75% wanted this versus 42% were offered it, which actually blows my mind in this day and age. Although, again, I've seen all this stuff on Instagram at the moment around like CBA is enforcing people to come back into the workforce for full days. So what they're doing is they're saying, originally they said, we need our anchor days. You need to come back, you know, 2 days for team morale and culture. I'm not opposed to that. I think it can be beneficial. And then they've said, but now we're also monitoring the hours in office. Oh. So
I know that your kid only goes to primary school from 9 to 3:30, but you have to be here till 5.
Well, they're saying, let's just say you have a 40% target of being in the office all week, right? But you go in 3 days a week and those hours that you do are like 8:30 till 3:30, you're still not going to meet your 40% because your hours for those days aren't 8:30 to 5:30.
They're probably jumping back on their laptops and answering all those emails that they missed that afternoon.
Exactly. And I'm like, that's
you
a dog move.
Dogs.
Yeah. Number two, asking them what support they actually wanted. 50% wanted this, so like something that they've asked for, versus 21% being offered it. Number three, flexibility around unexpected childcare responsibilities. 77% wanted this versus 49% being offered it. This is a really tricky one. I'm like, I don't know what the solution is to this, but I definitely understand the conundrum. Often what I think happens, this, and I've experienced this firsthand before, is when you don't have children, you have this like bank of sick leave, right? That you're like, fuck, I'm never going to use this. And then bam, you have kids and you're like, shit, thank God I've got that bank of sick leave. I need more of this. Like, this is wild. But for the 4 years that you've been in the workplace prior to kids, you've probably used like one or two.
Yeah, I had half my thyroid removed and I still had sick leave after the 2 weeks that I was meant to have off to recover.
Right.
I was like, why do I still have sick leave? I just used two whole weeks.
Yes, but when you have children, it just gets eaten up because they get every frigging virus under the sun for like the first 3 years of their life. Yeah. So I don't know what workplaces need to do to combat that, but I feel like for new parents entering the workforce, perhaps it's like as a bonus or a perk, it could be like an additional 10 days of access to sick leave per year for your first year after returning on parental leave. Like, how great would that be? I'd be like, it's fucking awesome. Thank you. No one's going to take the piss. No one wants to be home with a sick child.
Oh, no, that's way more work than being at work. I'd rather enjoy my coffee in silence in an office than be at home with a sick baby. What would do to put more value on the secondary caregiver, like sharing parental responsibilities day in, day out at home for sickness? Because imagine a world where it was 50-50, like you stayed home 50% of the time and your partner stayed home 50% of the time. That would make such a difference in mums showing up to work. And I don't have the answer there because Hayden needs to be on site. So he rarely, rarely can be the one to stay at home with sick kids. And often as well, it comes down to money. Whoever's earning more money or has what's perceived as the bigger job, they have to go out to that job. But I just imagine this world where it was totally even and you wouldn't have mums specifically needing as much sick leave because it'd be shared amongst the parents.
I know, but that we're such a long way off that.
We're such a long way away for that.
Yeah. We're such a long way off, yeah. We are because of the gender pay gap and disparity in women's promotions as well. But if we're like, oh, yeah, encourage men to take it, okay, they're not going to do it. So what can we do in order to enable women to feel more comfortable taking it or just to give them a bit of a buffer so that they're not like, fucking hell, I've just used all my sick leave and my annual leave in the first 4 weeks of returning back from work. Do something for the first year that helps them. The next one, connecting them to other parents. So 30% wanted this, first 6% being offered it. I mean, I find that a bit odd, if I'm honest. Like,
connecting to other parents
yourself,
at work.
Babes.
Yeah, I feel like you can do that, if I'm honest.
I feel like you can do that. You've had it's an interesting one.
You've had
you can talk about your kids.
You've given life. Like, you're an adult enough to go meet the other adults. No, we're actually being a bit mean. If someone's new to a workplace or they're a bit anxious or they were new and then they went on parental leave, having a support system at work where you go, here are the other parents, they have this kid, they have that, this is a bit of a mentorship, get together, that would actually be pretty powerful because then at least you can understand how people are navigating it within your specific workplace, because even industry-wide, there can be differences, right? Like you might learn from someone in a similar industry as you, but their boss is a totally different person to your boss. So that is quite a nice piece and that actually should become the norm where it's like, okay, here's the other parents that work in this organization. You're a team. Learn from each other, support each other, and sink or swim.
It's a nice way of phrasing it, actually, not the last bit, but the way that you've holistically covered that. And then the last one was a space for breast pumping. I mean, we don't have that as much in Australia because it's compulsory, but 28% wanted this, first 9% being offered it. I mean, I think we still have a long way to go. Like the disabled bathrooms is not adequate.
If I went back to Cricket Australia, I'm going to take that back. I think there was a breastfeeding spot on a different level, but it was like two levels up from my office. And if I wanted to go somewhere discreetly, easily from my office and not pass a lot of people with my breast pump and all of that stuff, I would have been in this gross little toilet with no ventilation, no light.
Yeah, the toilet thing is yuck. Yeah, there needs to be like a little meeting space room that's private.
I'm trying to give life. Do I have to fucking express and pump?
Yeah, with the smell of shit. No, no thanks.
No, thank you.
And I also have such a pet peeve about disabled toilets. Don't even get me started. I saw a gentleman the other day, and I know disability can be silent. So I will admit that, which is why I did not say something. This gentleman to me, I've met him before. He has no physical disability. As far as I'm aware, he has no mental or silent disability. And every single day, I see him use a disabled toilet.
It's so disrespectful.
It actually grates my soul.
That's I remember mum back in the day getting really, really angry at anyone that would take
it's
a disabled
so
car park if they weren't disabled. And when I was a kid, I was just a bit like, oh, mum, whatever. And now I'm like, that is so disrespectful. You do not take that from someone who might need it.
Exactly. Anyway, the next one. Mothers mainly returned to work for financial reasons, but more than half said they went back for a sense of personal fulfillment, which was 56%. Definitely, I am in that bucket. Independence, 45%. also in that bucket, or to achieve their career goals, 44%. Yes, I'm in that bucket too. Yet despite seeking fulfillment, the transition is far from rewarding for many. They said they felt anxious, 74%, tired, I mean, babes, we all know, 70%, and overwhelmed, so tired, 63%, when they went back.
I want to know, out of those three words, what resonates most with you? Is it anxious? Is it tired? Or is it overwhelmed? You can only pick one.
Sure.
Same. Yeah. I'm just always overwhelmed.
Yeah. It is hard because there's so much other stuff to juggle. Like,
just think about
the complexities of everything else.
Everything that you and I just met about before we even started recording.
There's a lot happening.
Like, it's just constant juggle. And exactly. We're talking about recording times and when we can fit them in with nap times and your work days versus days at home.
Life is busy.
And if we record during Zave's nap or if we can do it on a day off. Oh, it's just, it's allowed.
It's busy. So of the mothers in the survey who felt supported at work, 70% felt more loyal to their company as a result. 2/3 said they would recommend their company to others and stay longer than those who didn't feel supported. Like, the message, the writing is on the wall.
Support us. Help me. Help you. Go on, give me a movie quote.
I watch no movies to give
it's
you any
actually,
quotes.
Actually, just have a little gripe with you on air. It's the only chemistry we don't have, and it upsets me because I come here with these quotes for you, Lozzie, and someone else listening might laugh or they might think, oh, yeah, I wouldn't have responded that way because she's talking about Sex and the City. You just look at me like I'm mad.
I don't even know. No, what is that? It sounds like a Donald Trump slogan for a minute. And I was like, that's odd.
Let's not talk about that.
I don't know. It sounds like something that he would say.
That man this week, fucking hell. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel not fine. Moving right
on. Yeah, I don't know any movies. There's a couple of things you need to know about me. I have no sense of direction ever. Sometimes people will be like, well, you come to my house.
I thought you meant ever. Like career and life, but you mean
no,
maps,
in career
which
and
is
life,
also
yes,
me.
But I mean as in geography. People will be like, Loz, you've been to my house 55 times. How can you not know? I don't know. I follow the same route every time and I only ever look at my map. Like, I listen to it. Like, it precedes my music in the car. I need to have my maps on. I follow the blue dot when I'm walking. If people are like, oh, you know, go this way. I'm like, I need it. What way is the dot facing?
And then even sometimes circle, the map sure plagues me because I'm like, which way is it actually facing? I'm confused.
Yep. And things with me, like movie quotes or like geographical things go in one ear and out the other. Like Ryan goes to me the other day, oh, yeah, this actress is in it. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, duh. I was like, you know, these movies, like he's like, they're classics. And I'm like, I don't know that I've seen them. And he's like, we've watched it together. And I was like, I can't even remember.
Yeah,
I don't know,
Loz. It is upsetting, I've got to say.
It's sad, isn't it? It's so sad.
I want to bond with you over Sex and the City, Friends.
No
Seinfeld.
One invite me to trivia. My trivia knowledge, unless it's
however,
in
invite Ryan.
TikTok memes, zero.
Invite Ryan to trivia. He will win.
Oh, yeah. He's
that man has a good brain.
Useless knowledge.
Don't tell him I said that. Women. Oh, Lozzie, I had the best bloody holiday. And so I want to talk about travel with kids because it's also dawned on me that that time is coming up where people might be going away. We went to Brunswick Heads, which is somewhere we've been meaning to go for years. And if anyone is a bit of a book a cabin within a caravan park sort of person, cannot recommend enough. I think it's called Reflections and there's two Reflections in Brunswick Heads. We stayed at the one called Massey Green or something. They've got these cabins right on this like river mouth beach that leads out to the actual ocean. And it was absolute magic. It's such a great quiet town. Couldn't rave about this holiday more. We'd go to the beach every morning, get a coffee on the way back. There was a seafood truck that pulled up to the caravan park. We bought oysters, cold cooked prawns. I made prawn rolls in like a bit of a sriracha mayo, lettuce, lime vibe. We made oysters. I bought a blood orange margarita mix and we had margaritas and we're sitting out on this deck. Kids are playing. Posey playing is a loose terminology. She was having a good time though. And God, it was a great holiday. You know, saying about like going on a holiday is just parenting in a different location.
Yes.
I didn't feel that way this time. I was like, nah, this was a bloody holiday and I loved every second of it. It got me thinking about our caravan trip coming up. We're going away for 6 weeks from mid-Feb. And I know your caravan situation is different. For anyone that doesn't know, Loz has a permanent caravan with an annex. So we're going on a road trip caravan vibe where we pull up to different caravan parks and, yeah, it'll be a little bit more hodgepodge than your setup. But I still want to learn from you. What do you think are your best tips for anyone that's doing something camping or caravan adjacent when it comes to packing, how you navigate naps in a space that's a little bit different to a house? I want to know it all. And the things that you have in your caravan that you think are musts.
Oh, this is such a good one. I mean, I wouldn't say I follow the rule book on anything that you should be doing according to like SIDS guidelines. So, mate, we just take everything I say with a grain of salt, particularly when it comes to naps. But these are the things that I've learned have been helpful. I mean, personally, with my caravan situation, I always go down a week before Christmas and pack everything. Like everything is packed so that when we go after
pack
Christmas.
Pack everything as in you take everything out to take back to Melbourne or you take everything down a week early?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so that everything is done. The items that we use the most would be the beach buggy. So during the day, I just use that
is
as
storage.
Is that
like the trolley thing? The thing that you like, pull? Yeah. We're going to buy one of those. My friend just linked one from Anaconda that even has a sunshade for when they're little.
Yeah.
And then you can pull it off later.
Yeah. Really handy. We use that all the time. And I use it for storage during the day and then just kind of dump stuff out when we go to the beach or if we're going anywhere, like around the caravan park to other people's stuff, I can just wheel it.
Like you put your margarita cocktail mix in
there. Yeah, exactly. Just drag it in the back. I mean, the Colab picnic rug is elite. It's worth every single dollar. It is like extra, extra large. And I'm not saying it's not sandproof, but because it's fabric, you can put it on grass and it doesn't like seem to get wet and soggy. You can put it, you can take it to the beach and like you can just flick it and all the sand comes
excellent.
Off. Like it's
I've got one of these. I got one on sale because my friend works there. So I got a really cheap one on sale. So that is great
so
news.
Good.
I've never used it up until now either.
Excellent. Beach chairs. I mean, Sunday supply.
Heaven.
Expensive. But trust me when I say I have bought all different types of beach chairs.
Okay, so it's worth the investment.
It's worth the investment because they're soft.
And they actually last, obviously.
They last. We've had them for 5 years now and they're excellent. And they're not that heavy to carry. Beach umbrellas, to be honest, I don't think you should be investing money in a fancy
one. But darling,
one.
That's because you don't spend time actually sitting on the beach.
I do, but like the whole primary purpose of a beach umbrella is practicality and it's to shade you. It's not to have the tassels and all that kind of stuff.
You're talking about Sunday Supply. You're talking about that brand specifically. You're not talking about having a beach umbrella altogether.
No. I'm saying you absolutely need a beach umbrella, but I don't think you need to be spending like $300 on it.
Yeah.
I think
so what's your favorite type of beach umbrella? Because I've not done it really yet. Like we've not really invested.
Oh, I think ours is like $50. You screw it in. It's basic. It's like blue and white stripe. We got it from a news agency.
So you're not doing a cool cabana thing or anything like that?
No. You can.
Those things do look awesome though, by the way, because you put sand in the holes to,
to
keep them down.
Yes, in the sides for weights.
Yeah.
We'd actually use that when we went away up north and they were great. I mean, you need a light. Actually, do you know what's amazing? Oh my God, this is hilarious.
A light. That's a good one because if you're going in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, I didn't even think of that.
Okay. So this is the best recommendation I have for camping. I only just got it and it's blown my mind on so many levels. It has so many practical uses. If you have not yet been spammed by this little portable fairy light machine thing that has like 20 meters of rope on like Temu or like it's followed you around on Instagram from like Camp Co or something, you will after this episode. I got spammed about 45 times and I was like, I'm just going to buy it. I'm just going to buy
that's
it.
That's what I haven't seen. I'm like, you've worn me down.
Yeah.
You've to me correct.
You've worn like, me down.
I will open my wallet for you. Well done. You followed me enough. I will buy.
Exactly. So I did buy this off Temu. I mean, I know Lou was opposed, but I am pro. And I think it was $15. It's so good. I almost want to do an Instagram story on it. It is elite.
What is it?
You press one patch. It's tiny. It's like a round little, it looks like a sound machine, a baby sound machine. It's round, it's portable, you plug it into the USB charger, it lasts for hours. In fact, do you know what else it could be handy for? It's
what
like you can do 10
it?
Meters,
what
20 meters. Fairy lights, fairy lights.
Hang them up. Sorry, I thought you were sort of using that.
You don't have to,
that,
though. You can also press a button at the back where the whole thing glows. So it's like also a night light if you need
to
go to the
bathroom,
you don't want to carry something heavy. Yes.
Okay.
And the great thing about it is if you are like me and you buy a Christmas tree every year, but it's always like, oh, you got to put it in a certain corner to plug in your lights or you have to run an extension cord. These last so long, like so long that you can use these for your Christmas tree as opposed to getting the fairy lights you have to plug in. And that means you can have your Christmas tree anywhere.
Wow. And it can move around.
See what I'm saying?
It can move around.
Wrap around. Oh, it's beautiful.
Wow.
So that is a strong suggestion.
And what about packing? So you've got limited space in a caravan. What are we using? Are you a packing cube girl? Like I put up a question asking about everyone's sort of storage and packing tips for caravanning specifically. And I won't even read out that poll answer because quite literally every single person said packing cubes.
Has something different.
And one.
Yeah, I use packing cubes.
No, they all said that. But then the only other really good tip there actually was one person said, just make sure you pack up your caravan the same every time so that you know where everything is. So like once everything has its spot and you settle into the one spot, when we're packing up to go to the next spot on our trip, it's like do it the same every single time so that I'm not being like to Hayden, where the fuck is that? Like you didn't put it back in the spot, blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was a great tip. But what are your tips for like keeping order in a caravan? Because you go from being in a house with your family to all of a sudden this small space.
Yeah, packing cubes. They're coloured.
What else? Tell me more.
Anything what else? I mean, I have a drawer of like towels, beach towels, and I have a portable washing line. Like,
oh, that's a good
one. It's just like in a roller thing. You can roll it to whatever you want. It clips on and then you can hang.
Oh, that's a great idea. And I'm also interested to even know what type of clothes you take. So obviously on our trip, it's going to be very beachy. There's not going to be a dressing up element. We might go out for dinner once or twice, but even that will be a kid-friendly restaurant. Do you take any clothes that you hang up or do you just go, I'm going to take five tops, five singlets, five pants, that's it. What's your, do you have any sort of method or formula around your packing for it?
I try not to pack a heap of white stuff, if I'm honest, because it gets effing filthy.
And then also you have to have a separate white wash.
Yeah. It's just a pain in the butt. I'm not precious. I don't iron anything. So everything is stuff that I feel comfortable in. I would never, ever take anything that I haven't worn before or like for a special occasion. I always think to myself, if you're going for a special occasion, like shove a bit of makeup on, put a red lip on, put a statement earring and wear what you're wearing. Like you're camping. That's like, you don't have to be wearing like.
You are mutton dressed as lamb, darling. Don't act otherwise.
Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with like a nice t-shirt and jeans and a nice pair of earrings. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Do like. Now, I mean, this sounds terrible, but all of the clothes that I keep down in Torquay are all of the clothes that, like, I was probably going to give to the salvos back at home that I've worn to death or, like, I really liked, I've worn and I'm kind of like, oh, I don't want to wear that in Melbourne. But then it's just everyday stuff. It there.
That's, like, the stuff that I go to take to the salvos that I then turn into my indoor sort of homey clothes. Like, I do give a lot to 100%. The salvos, but sometimes you're like, oh, no, that will be my good dagging around the house clothing. My next question for you, Lozzie, is how do you keep kids happy on a long car trip or a flight?
Oh, the drawing pad. The drawing pad that's black that you turn on and off with no batteries. It's good. Got batteries
and then you
in
just
it.
Put the button and then squiggle. It goes back to start. I can't speak, but you know what I mean? It erases the picture. Love that thing.
Yeah, that's really good. Magnetized boards are also really handy where they can like dress people up and undress them.
Yes, because it's not mess, but they're still being creative. Not messy. It's like drawing and
whatnot. That's easy. Oh, God. We listen to like a lot of music that I hate, but that's okay. We play I Spy a lot, which is always fun. What else? I mean, I am not a big one. I've never done like huge road trips with the kids. Oh, actually, I've probably done 6 hours would be my longest stint. And the kids always kind of drift off and sleep a bit. I'm never a massive one for iPads. In cars, unless you're desperate.
Is that because they end up going too crazy?
Yeah. Well, there's two things. What I've learned is from my own experience is I can't give Sienna an iPad that's like connected to my hotspot because she's old enough to flick and scroll and I can't monitor it while I'm driving. And I also can't reach. So I always flick off any hotspot and then it will be like downloaded movies that I've done. So I know that what she's watching is like safe and appropriate for her age. But I also just find like,
or can they just turn to shit? Like, I'm all for people using screens. Feral. Do not get me wrong. But Ray goes feral. Like he turns into a demon. He'll find it like we never give him the iPad now because we've just made a rule like it makes him too nuts. And he'll find it, you know, like we'll leave it on the bedside table if I've read my book on it or whatever. And he'll find it. And he turns into an actual animal, like he is not himself with the iPad.
Sienna's the same. Yeah. So we've banned it in our house.
If your kid's good with it, great. But mine ain't good with it. It's too much.
Our only ban for the iPad is in our house. So she can't be on the iPad in our own home. But if we go out other way, like, please. If I have to take her out for dinner, that iPad is immediately. I'm not waiting. I'm not towing the line. It's on.
Don't force a child out for dinner and then expect them to have adult conversation with all the adults. Like, let them play.
Exactly. I would also say lots of snacks, more snacks than you think, because they'll just ask for snacks the entire time. Don't give them
someone
all
said dry snacks, which I thought was a really good tip, because you know when you buy something gross that they make all disgusting and you end up getting so pissed off. So I think that dry element is a great
and just
tip.
Break it up. You don't have to be doing 8 hours straight. Like, stop out, go for a kick of the ball or get some fresh air and then restart.
You've basically answered the poll there, so I'm not even going to go into it, because people either said snacks or one person said that about 4 hours was their kid's limit and then they needed to stop. And another really great piece of advice, which you've just touched on, is let go of any expectations. Pull over if you need to. Take a beat.
Yeah.
You have the time. You're on holidays. Don't feel stressed and try and stick to routines that we often have to follow when we're at home.
Also, it's fun to go to new places. Like, I find, for example, when we did a really long trip to go to the snow, which took a flipping age, I was completely unaware of how long it was going to take. We took Sienna with us. It was semi late in the afternoon. So we're like, we're just going to find a local pub and she can have a raspberry lemonade, which for her, I'm like, oh, you get to have a raspberry lemonade. She's like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. They had like drawing and coloring pencils there. Excellent activity. Did it make her slightly hyper? Yeah, but like she loved it. I'm like, there we go. There's a little reward in half an hour. We're nearly there. We're going to have your raspberry lemonade. Like simple stuff like that. And it was a nice experience. Like, different scenery, different place.
I've got two more for you before I'm going to let you go, because we have a hard finish in 6 minutes. My next one for you, Lozzie, is if someone's a first-time parent about to go on their first holiday with a baby, what's your greatest tips for that? It's hard to know without ages, obviously, but more just thinking about you being that newish parent that hasn't done it before, hasn't got on a plane before.
Take a travel pram.
I'll tell you what, our baby jogger was unbelievable on this holiday. I'm really a big fan of the baby jogger. What's your favorite travel pram?
Oh, God, I've got a few. I really like the Reds baby, if I'm honest, just because it reclines flat. So if you have a really small child, things like the yo-yo, the Jules Air, what other ones have I tried? I've tried so many.
Oh, my God, you're a travel pram whore.
I am. I've tried so many. They don't recline flat. They recline at an angle. And I feel like when you've got a really little baby and you're concerned about sleep, like I was for Zave and Sienna, the Red's baby flat recline. And I think the mountain, what's it called? Jogger or something? Baby jogger, mountain buggy. One of them is the same.
Baby jogger does fully recline. I really like it. And it has the bit where you can put the legs up, because that's an important one.
So
if you can't put the legs up.
Like,
as in, that doesn't make sense, but it's just so that people understand what I mean. It's so that your kid's legs can lie down properly without their feet dangling. I cannot talk today. I'm still in holiday mode.
No, the Reds baby skip, I think, is elite. Like, I really like it. It's a little bit heavier, reclines flat, it's sturdy, it's got good under storage. Probably one of my favorite travel prams. Yeah, my advice is take a travel pram, take snacks, get fidget spinners.
The baby might not eat yet, but I still love it.
Yeah, but I mean, take a fidget spinner. Broadly. Honestly, do not be afraid to ask for help. I have traveled by myself. I think I went to Brisbane with Sienna like 9 times in the first year of her life by myself, solo.
Yeah. Is that because Ryan was working out there? Yeah.
Yeah. And I just asked for help. Like, it's impossible. Everyone's like, oh, one hand flip with the pram. I'm like, I can't do that. And actually, so I'd be like, excuse me, would you hold my baby?
Yeah.
Very few people.
I left Posey with a man while I went and changed Rachel in the toilet in the plane. I was like, well, he can't really kidnap her because we're on a plane. So
I asked a bachelor. There was like a bachelor party. And I was like, I'm so busting to pee and I'm actually not going to fit. I'm like, would you mind holding her just for a second? And they were like, oh, yeah. I was like, thanks. I'm like,
thanks. Cheers. Bye.
She'll be fine.
Lozzie, I feel like you've covered what the poll has covered so well that I don't even need to go into the poll. We have just touched on it basically with all of these questions. One I will read out is everyone's favorite family holiday spot in Australia for anyone that needs a bit of inspo. And just to see, you just like come back at me with any of your feelings around these places.
I want to know them.
Whether you like want to go, have been, love, blah, blah, blah. Noosa, Echuca, Kingscliff is what the first person says.
Kingscliff
is
one.
Do you know who wrote that?
Who?
Go on.
Me.
Guess. No. Who wrote that? Think of the three places.
Oh, Chrissy. Did she come?
Yes, that was Chrissy.
Yeah.
She wrote that. Kingscliff. We just drove through there on our way to the airport after Brunswick Heads and loved the look of the caravan park that you stay at there.
It's so good.
Such a great area. Gold Coast, someone says. Perth, Tassie, South Island of New Zealand. I'd love to go to New Zealand.
I haven't done that. It's on my hit list.
Yeah. Hamilton Island, Palm Beach in New South Wales and Palm Cove. Yeah. Someone else says RACV resorts. They must be quite good with kids, I imagine.
They're good.
Jervis Bay. Yeah. I think we're stopping there on our roadie. Hamilton Island, Port Douglas, Noosa. I love Noosa. I think I've talked about it before.
Yeah, they're great.
I thought I'd hate it. Thought I would think it was this hoity-toity place. It's fucking
awesome. It's just easy with kids.
It's just a great place.
It's so easy with kids.
The main street is a bit hoity-toity, but there's so much else to Noosa than just that main drag. And I don't mind a bit of hoity-toity every now and then anyway.
Also, they like kids there. You can go out for dinner and take love your kids. I mean, you can't do that in Melbourne. So
Seal Rocks in New South Wales, Bendalong Point, New South Wales, Pambula. We're going to either stop near or in Pambula. Scott's Head, I've seen that on the map. That's also New South Wales. This is really giving me some food for thought. Bright in Victoria. That is such a good spot. Excellent. Have you ever been to Bright?
Amazing.
I love it.
Yes.
Wye River, that's brilliant. All of Tassie, could not agree more. And then this next person says, if you're caravanning the Eyre Peninsula in South Australia, Exmouth in Western Australia, Broome and Margaret River also in Western Australia. I've only been to Perth for work, so I can't really comment there. And then the last one, this person also says, Margaret River, beautiful beaches and family-friendly wineries and breweries. That is it, my friend. We need to wrap up in 1 minute because you have to go.
If you have loved today's episode, or if you have any traveling with kids tips or extra locations that I should visit or Lou should visit, please let us know. If anybody knows me, I always love a holiday and Lou will be spending some time in the van so she has the time to peruse other locations. Please leave us a positive review and follow us on readyournot.pod. Chat to you next week.